This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What up, listener?
Oh, is that you, Lo?
It's me, Lo!
We missed you last week.
Thanks for welcoming me back to the
show. Hi, Lo!
Hi, Greta!
Yeah, welcome back to the show. We're so happy to have you here.
Hi, beauties.
To join Greta and I.
Last week was a pretty serious episode.
Oh, that was such a great episode. I loved that episode.
Julie's the best.
Very
and
meaningful.
Thank you to all of our listeners who have wrote into us post-episode.
Yes.
With their beautiful
thoughts
and their feedback. And it was really nice.
Anecdotes, etc.
Yes.
Well, this week we are going to take it up a notch. We have a matchmaker in our midst.
We do.
Yes. I love matchmakers.
Me
She's
too.
She's super hottie.
I always want to know the secret.
She's very hot.
She you lives in New York hot. City.
She is taken, though, because she got that big ring on.
I don't think we have very many male listeners.
You never know. To all of our male listeners, don't she's
Who
taken
cares? Girls like girls too.
That's very true.
I mean, of course, I'm, to I'm all number girls. One to say girl to all the ladies. Do you like women too?
I like everyone. I love but I am taken.
She loves okay. love. Everyone, can we please put our hands together for Emily Holmes Hahn, the founder of Last First Matchmakers in New York City.
Hi.
Welcome to the audience.
Like Jill said, we are our own studio audience.
Yes.
We're our own fans, basically. We don't need anyone
for
each
own
other.
Fans.
I'm just kidding.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're our second matchmaker that we've had on. The first matchmaker that we had on was, she was like from Florida, right?
Yeah, but she spent time between Florida and New York.
And LA.
Yeah, she spent her time.
She sent me on a date with someone.
She did.
We had a nice drink.
You guys came to my show.
She did.
Yeah.
The last matchmaker set me up on a date with someone. We went to Greta's comedy show.
And it was actually very funny because he showed up and I like knew he was looking for Jilly. And I could see
you single him out. Were you up on stage?
I wasn't on stage yet, but I was like in the back waiting. Yeah. And I could see him looking for Jilly. And I was, I just went up to him and tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, are you here meeting someone? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, she's right there.
Greta did help me out there. It was a lot less awkward.
Blind date written all over your face.
You know, you're
such a lovely guy, but like, we were not a match, and we both knew it. And so at the very end of the night, I walked him to the subway. We hugged.
That was kind.
And then...
that's polite.
Was on my way home.
So. I think that's
just
an ideal
situation.
The same
path of walking.
I mean,
and then
better,
we hugged, and we never spoke again. It was beautiful.
It's better, at least, if you're both not into it, you know?
Yeah.
I went through, like, a string of dates where we both weren't into it, but then the guy would send me a message being like, yeah, like, I just want to, you know, it's not going to work out. And it's like, well, clearly, bro, we didn't even kiss. We had no connection. Like, I'm not interested either. Like, you don't have to break up with me.
Yeah, I
so
hear
I love
you
it.
After one date.
Yeah, it's like, if you've gone on one date and neither of you reach out, like, no one needs to send a message that says, sorry, it's not going to work out.
I don't
know.
I remember when you were talking
about
this.
I was so annoyed.
I was like, Jill, I think it's, like, polite that they're, like, saying something. But I don't know. Everybody feels differently. Can we talk about Last First for a second?
Yes.
Before we just
go into my dating life.
Dating lives. So Emily has also set me up on a date.
Oh, really?
I didn't know this. When?
Tell us about the experience.
A couple weeks ago.
Wait, I would like to know, Emily, how do you find like the right person for someone, I guess? Like, how did you know this guy was a match for Lo?
Last First is like the only... You're like the only cool matchmaker on the planet.
Thank you. I concur.
But
it's really true. It's sad, actually, for the industry.
It's because you're, like, downtown. You're, like, a downtown New York girl. And from everything that we've talked about, your clients are, like, downtown people for the most part.
They're guys
I
would date.
And, you know, seemingly normal.
Yeah.
TBD on everything. And, like, the girls that work in your office are, like, so nice and cool and chic. And so I feel like matchmakers generally get a bad rap, but I don't think that you really fit that bill at all.
They do get a bad rap. And I think it's a lot of, you know, because of what you see on television and like the ads for matchmakers that you read in the magazine in the plane chair in front of you. You know, it's like they're just appealing to such a mass market. And it's like misconception that I think it's created is like these guys who need help getting a date or girls who need help getting a date. And really with my clients, it's the opposite. It's like you have no trouble meeting a guy, meeting a girl, but you want to be selective with your time. You don't want to spend an hour with someone who's not going to be a fit. So of course you outsource that really important search to a team of professionals.
I also would much prefer to go through a matchmaker than a dating app.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, dating apps is just like, it's so random. And it's like, you can't trust a computer to tell you who you're going to have the same sense of humor as, or like who you'll connect with.
I just treat, like when I was on dating apps, I just treated them like video games and I would just fuck with everyone. So it was like not, it wasn't even like a genuine, even for me, there was like no point that it would be genuine because I was just like fucking with people.
I know. And everyone, that's like good material for you though.
Yeah, that's true.
My life is not about material.
This is real life. Every dating app date I've gone on, I just find that like they, no one has like any accountability. And so people just are like not, I don't know. They weren't there for the right reasons. Every dating app date I went on, the guys were just looking for sex.
But I've actually met like, a sorry, lot of people that I've met their boyfriends and husbands on dating apps.
Oh, I have too.
My there's ex I met on a dating app. So
I think how it long works. Ago?
Almost 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think that was before the tipping point.
I mean, I know to me. Yeah. I know people that are married that met on Tinder. I know multiple people that are married that met on Tinder, I know people that are married that met on like Bumble and Hinge and all that.
If you get on a dating app though before right when it starts and there's a smaller pool of people, I feel like you have a better chance. But I feel like if you join later on, I don't know. Like when you first met your boyfriend, it was like. It was on Hinge, and it was like the first beginning.
And it was like only when you could connect if you like had mutual Facebook friends.
Oh, right. That's nice. I loved that.
That was like the only people that you could connect with, and it did feel like more organic at that point. But like now, I just feel like these dating apps are so soul sucking.
Yeah,
and like
they give me anxiety.
They give me anxiety too, and the experience. Like with Emily, when she set me up, was just like so.
Oh yeah, wait. What? How did the date go?
I would love to know. So chill.
Well, what I would love to know first is so, like, okay, you have low, and you're like, how do I find the right guy in this, you know, my pool of men that I have that would be right? Like, what are the things? How do you? How does that whole process work?
You know, well, it was funny because actually my team set low up, and now I have my own new ideas now that I know her because I was in California at the time that she came in. But what we do is we run through this like 75 question questionnaire, and it's very comprehensive. Like we talk about your relationship with your parents and what growing up was like. And we ask fun little mind bender questions like if you could have a dinner party with five people living or dead, who would you bring? And the answers aren't so important, but it's more the way you interpret the questions, the way you sit, the way you might react to a loud noise outside or the way that you respond when you come into our office. Like those little je ne sais quoi elements that you can kind of never put a computer algorithm to on an app, and you can never write them about yourself.
It's all about the je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, it's like, and I know, you know, you described
it's,
to me.
It's personality. That's what it is.
It is.
Get that, like, through a fucking computer.
You really can. You can get lucky through a computer, and you can find the love of your life, but it's just you're going to kiss a lot more frogs usually before you get to that person. But it's mostly, it's like about, like, you know, your demeanor and just kind of how we think that that will line up, or maybe, you know, we tell a lot of the same jokes in our office, actually, is a little trick of ours. So we'll see, like, which ones you're laughing at and which ones he was laughing at can just be a fun. Because everyone describes their sense of humor as, like, oh, sarcastic, but they don't really know.
Yeah, everyone's like, I love Larry David.
Yeah, exactly. Who doesn't? But,
I actually met someone the other day that was like, I hate Larry David. And I was like, and the world hates you.
I was with someone else the other day who was like, I've never seen Curb Your Enthusiasm. I was like, get out.
Just so weird. It's like when you meet someone that's never seen an episode of The Simpsons or Seinfeld.
I've never seen an episode of The Simpsons.
Really?
What?
I'm not super into cartoons.
Jilly, you are a cartoon.
I did make myself a
cartoon. Jilly, you need to watch The Simpsons.
I've never watched an episode.
I'll watch with you. I'll pop that little Simpson cherry.
Great. Let's do it.
So, you set Lo up on a date with this guy. Yeah. And what
can
made...
Can we call him PJ for podcast purposes?
We can call him like...
Let's give him, a different name.
A, B, C. What,
awesome.
Whatever.
Let's call him Alphabet.
Cool.
So you chose Alphabet. Why did you choose Alphabet for Lo?
So we chose him because I think, you know.
And he's a client.
Yeah, he's a client. So we have.
So can you explain the difference?
So we have our clients who are kind of pay us for a really proactive, personalized, very white glove, handheld approach. They're getting a couple of dates per month who are from our social network. And our social network is people like Lo. It's a great, really extraordinary network of women in New York City and the California cities. And we go, the first thing that we do is we kind of go, so we're representing our clients. We're going to people from our social network to match them with. And beyond, of course, also because we're expanding that every day. But the first step is we use Salesforce, which is like the only computer-based element of what we do. If this is boring, also.
No, we're fascinated.
We can put in like your top criteria. So maybe it's an age range. Maybe it's a height for you, you know, and we'll put those things in. And then we'll get a list of our clients, or for our client, we'll get a list of our social members. Mm-hmm. And either can be men or women also. So that's like the only computer-based thing that we do. And then we all put our heads together and we talk like energy-wise who we think would be the best match out of those.
I have a question. You know, I can sit here and say like, oh, I only want to date a guy that has hair, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then I wind up...
Said a lot of girls.
Right, but like... But do you then... Say you have a bald dude that's like really cool. Would you then be like... They are hot. But would you then say to your clients like, look, I know that you put over 6'4" with fucking shaggy blonde hair as your criteria, but I have this guy who's 5'10" and bald, but he's the sickest guy around.
Yeah, and that's the real beauty. Absolutely. We do that all the time, and that's the real beauty. And you can always say no too. We're not pushy about it. Like if you say absolutely not, it's a deal breaker, fine. But like that's the beauty in matchmaking, because on an app you would put an age parameter, you'd put a height parameter, and you know that you don't like bald guys, so why not just swipe past him? It's so easy to just go and find another guy.
Yeah,
right.
And that might be, you know, that might be your one.
Right. I still want to go back to the why did you think this guy was right for Lo?
So I think, I mean, and again, this was a match that Julie on my team made.
Oh, got it.
But I
okay.
still actually think it was a good setup match, but I get why there was not a second date. Also, I think that he's very family oriented. He's just nice. He's got impeccable kind of values and manners, I would say.
It sounds, is he boring?
No, I wouldn't call him boring. No,
he read me the like description you guys sent, and I was like, get it.
Yeah, I mean, he reads very
like this
well.
Is a really great email.
He is a really great guy, and I mean, and he is set, like he's ready for his wife and kids to move in. Like he's just got, like he knows that this is what he wants. He's really young to do this. A lot of my clients are like in their 40s, even 50s, just because sometimes that's how old men are when they realize they want to be serious. Mm-hmm. But he's like 33, I think, or 32, and he something like that.
And you're looking to me like I know.
And I'm like, you know. But he knows what he wants, and he knew that his time was too valuable to him to be wasting on bad dates. And I think that just like, I think again, it's like, it's more of a je ne sais quoi that we use. It's not like we can say like he was exactly her physical, you guys were exactly each other's type, although you actually are quite close to his exact physical type, which is important too. And like,
blonde.
You know, yeah, exactly.
I only have one tip, it's blonde with legs.
Blonde with big old ditties.
Yes.
Yes. Said also every guy ever to me this week. But,
really?
Guys really like that? They're just like, I want someone with big boobs.
No, I mean, but when you put a price tag on a search like this, mm-hmm. we definitely get to know what type.
Yeah.
Do they talk about...
It's all different, though.
Do you, like, talk to them about sex and stuff like that?
If they want to, yeah. I'll often, like, kind of put it out there. I'll say, you know, like, what ended your marriage? And it's kind of up to them to lead the conversation in that direction if they want to.
So how did you...
I was just going to say, so people like tell you secrets.
Yeah, I protect a lot of
secrets. Well, I would honestly, if I was paying someone to find me like the love of my life, I'd tell them every single detail about myself. I'd be like, okay, let's do this. Because you're like, these are like no joke people.
How did you start this? Like what made you decide that you were going to go into matchmaking? And how did you start your company? Like how did this all happen?
Yeah, I've always loved just connecting people, whether it's like, you know, friends who are studying abroad in the same city, or, you know, a romantic relationship or a business relationship. I've done that just my whole life. I just think it's really neat how the world works out when you can, like, see friendships form and business mm-hmm. connections form. But I worked in fashion in Paris for 3 years, which I loved, at Ralph Lauren. And then I moved back to New York because my visa expired, and I got a job at a big matchmaking company, which I was kind of just trying to do until I could renew my visa and go back to Ralph Lauren. But then I ended up really liking the matchmaking company and just meeting all these crazy people. And it's true. I mean, they open up to you really quickly. Usually when you uh-huh. walk around with the label of professional matchmaker, it's like people just tell you stuff.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Which I loved, because I was still, I mean, I was like 24, I think, at the time. And it was just like these like people pouring their hearts yeah, out to right. you. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. But I really missed fashion and Paris. And so I kind of wanted to combine the big box matchmaking agency with like a luxury fashion brand in my own way, you know. Right. We're obviously not working in fashion, but
it's like boutique, it's yeah. small and selective, and you personalized curate it.
too. And right. I felt like at the bigger companies, like, it was more, you know, we piled on clients, we worked with hundreds of clients, and it was not, we would take a girl's photo and her resume, like, and set her up with someone. And I feel like that wasn't really real, and that's like, what you could do that online, actually.
Resume being like, I work here, and or like bio, more detailed.
It's like bio, she'll write a little yeah. bio okay. about herself, and we'll be like, that sounds great, let's match her yeah. with a client. And to me, that wasn't like, that's just not real matchmaking.
Do you have men that want your services that you reject?
Yes.
Or women.
And women. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have to be a fit. Well, I wasn't they have to be sure. on brand.
Is it, because I know that, like, and not to, I don't mean to sound, I really know nothing about matchmaking, but some matchmaking services, like, they only make men pay. But you do all kinds of matchmaking for everyone.
We only
everyone.
Make one party pay.
I like that better.
Yeah.
Got it.
And that doesn't seem so,
it doesn't
like
seem
gendered,
so, like, patriarchal yeah. and, like, no. fucking oppressive and exactly. archaic.
No, and it's not, like, even, like, and so we have, yeah, we have our paying people and we have our social people, basically. More of our paying people are men at the moment, but we're looking to, like, by 2018, I would love to see the number be even, mm-hmm. so.
I think it will be soon.
I hope so. I mean, yeah, women really take, especially, like, young girls my age, actually, have been really enjoying it, just because I think, like, as you said, like, our team, it's just, it's all about the team, and it's all about the people, and we are so different from the other matchmakers. Right. You know, I think it's yeah. refreshing to, like, come in and kind of.
And chicks are just, like, over these dating apps.
Yeah.
Especially in New York, because these are the people that I know. I know so many single women, and it is a jungle out there. It is crazy.
It is.
And all of my friends are, like, hot and nice and smart.
Yeah,
great job.
Yeah, I actually feel
I know so many amazing
true.
Single yeah. women, and like nobody can get lucky.
You should send Greta your sister.
Yes. The thing is, my sister's actually moving to LA, so oh, she could cool. be in your LA pool.
Absolutely.
She is tray eligible, very eligible. Very gorgeous, smart, yeah, funny.
She's
like
elegant.
Literally the nicest person on the planet. She's the best.
Please.
You know what, Jillian? Good job.
Good idea. I actually, you guys, I played matchmaker this week. I set two of my friends
did
up.
Did it work?
Well, they haven't gone out yet, but Monday oh. I got them. I set two of my girlfriends up with two guys.
Cute. From where?
Well, basically, I asked all of the guys in the Fuck Jerry office. Uh-huh. And I was like, hey, guys. Well, actually, no. Blakely, the only guy I can ask in the Fuck Jerry office if he has any friends. And he suggested these two great guys, and I'm really excited. And both of them want to go out with the girls, and they both got the numbers and texted already.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm like, really, honestly, all I want to do is make people fall in love.
I know.
Man.
So I get it.
I get it, yeah.
You just have mitzvahs every second.
You really do.
Which is yeah. the best.
I will definitely be going to heaven.
So yeah. cute. How many marriages have you had?
We've had, in the 5 years that I've done this, I ballpark it right now at around 30.
Whoa, but that's a lot.
And yeah, for a small amount of time, and I have a ton more couples than that still together.
That's really cool.
Do you get invited to all the weddings?
No, surprisingly. Kind of.
That's
not,
actually
I guess not
good,
that
because then you wouldn't have to go to all these weddings.
I know, I guess that's true. But sometimes I get invited and I get toasted even, which is
wow. That's so sweet.
But,
sweet.
Not that I would like ask for that, but like,
yeah.
it's always a nice surprise when it happens.
For sure.
How did you meet your person?
We met at Wilfie and Nell in the West Village.
Yes, yes, yes.
I live right by Wolfie.
Oh, do you really? Oh, right.
Yeah. My old neighborhood, too. Yep.
Go there. Honestly, there's I've gotten a lot of dates there. Guys.
I feel like it's a lot of guys wearing like the same button down, carrying their like Citigroup gym bag. And I'm just don't know if I'm that horny for it. Like one but of well,
that's like perfect for me.
But I just went out on a date with an Irish lad. And like at the end of the night, we went to Wolfie and Nell. So like now I don't think I can go there for a while because I'm afraid I'm going to run into him. He was totally nice. But I just don't know if I like want to just like hang out again. So I don't know.
That's the worst when you have to avoid a location.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like why I moved neighborhoods.
Tried to send you to a location that shall not be named that you didn't want to go to.
Yeah, that's true.
And which has happened to me so many times where I'll send like a restaurant idea because we actually plan the whole date. Like we say, here's where we're meeting. And then sometimes girls are like, oh my God, I can't go there. My ex lives within a 3-block radius of that place. And
we're okay. I couldn't go to their suggestion because I dated the owner.
She literally dated the owner of the restaurant.
I can't go there.
Oh, it's smart though because I feel like
that totally gave me a great idea of your type more than I had just from what the girls wrote. And
douchebag?
Yeah, I hope you don't think that guy's her type. I hate that guy.
Douchebag is the type.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was a douche.
He's an interesting
fellow. I've heard stories, yeah.
Yeah.
What are, like, when you've said no to people, why? Why do you say no to them?
Undateable, no. But, I mean, they're, like, I think just people who are mean, people who I don't connect with. Like, I'm pretty connectable. I'm pretty adaptable. I have a lot of different facets of life that I can tap into and talk about. Like if I can't connect with the person, then it's just probably they're not going to connect with anyone. Sweet. And I'm trying. Yeah.
Let's get back to you meeting your husband at Wilfie and Nell.
Yes.
How did this happen? Because we get a lot of girls that email us. Oh, yeah.
Did you hit on him or did he hit on you?
Yeah. It's debatable. No.
Unless everything.
But so he was actually there. I do remember we definitely like had a lot of eye flirtation across the room for like way too long. Like, I feel like you should just go and talk to each other. But it was like for like 30, 40 minutes. This was like the second night that I moved to New York.
Wow.
And he was there with a guy who I knew who actually worked with the matchmaking company that I was working at. And I recognized him because I recognized his photo. And like, and he had also dated one of my friends before. So I like knew him from before and from this company. And it made me feel like a little bit safer and better because then when I made that connection, I was like, oh my God, this is totally
someone
who it would be worth like spinning my stool around for my friends and like talking to and taking the time, you know, because it's just you never know at a bar. But I felt like that guy knew that guy was looking for marriage and kids and like the types of people he dated, the types of schools he went to. And like I just felt good about that.
Is that what it's about? Like you timing. Have to set guys like. Is it that the guys like have to know that they're ready for marriage and kids?
Yeah.
They don't. No, they don't have to know that. I have people who use this definitely as a more targeted dating club. Like they don't know what they want, but they know what they don't want and they don't want dates who misrepresent their photos or, you know, just like, you know, it's all the same for men and women. Like it's just about time.
But here's the question. If someone's like coming to you and then
the secret.
If someone's coming to you and they're like, oh, I just want to date, would you only set them up then with the people that just want to date too? Because wouldn't that be bad to set up with someone that just wants to date with someone that wants to get married?
No, because I feel like the one will change your mind. I think just want to date is really.
Do you believe but what about in that? I so believe in timing.
I do too.
It's like if the timing isn't there. For both, like, you both have to be, like, open.
Yeah, but I think that if you're already taking the step of retaining a matchmaking service, like, you're more there than you're thinking.
True.
And sometimes, like, guys, like, egos can be so delicate in that, with men. And it's, like, so sometimes they'll say, like, you know, it's almost embarrassing. It's, like, I'm 40 years old and I'm still single. And, like, you know, the reason is that I don't want anything serious right now. So I'm going to hire you. But, you know, and I think like definitely like people don't always mean what they say to me.
Right.
For sure.
On that note, we're going to take a little break, see, and then we'll be right back. And we are back. Mm-hmm. I have a question. I have two questions for you and for the group.
Is this a two-parter?
This is a two. You guys know
Greta hasn't done a two-parter question in a really long time.
I know. I haven't done a two-parter in a very long time. I'm known on this on our podcast, I'm known to stack questions because I just want to get
wait.
It
She's
all
excited.
In. My first question is, do you believe in the, like, that there is the one? And this is for all of you guys.
Okay.
And my second question is, do you believe in destiny and fate?
The second question is killing me.
Do we get to go around the table?
Yeah, let's go around the table.
Okay. Does everyone get...
We'll do rapid fire. We'll do, oh my God. Yes, we do a rapid fire round. Okay.
We did this a couple weeks ago on the podcast where... We gave each other, what, 1 minute to answer?
No, I gave 30 seconds. But these are really weighty. These are much weightier, I think, than what we were talking about before.
I think everyone gets 1 minute to answer both questions.
Yes. We're gonna start with Jilly. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jilly, do you believe in the one? Your time starts now.
And Destiny. She gets 1 minute for
both. Oh, okay.
Wait, can I not go first?
Okay, yeah, sure. You want to think on it more? You want to put it on simmer?
Like, I don't have an answer. Can I just not have an answer to either of those questions?
In your time, you can say I don't have an answer, and then I'll read your time for how long it took you to tell us your answer.
Okay. I'll go first then.
Okay. So, Jilly, in 1 minute, do you believe in destiny and the one your time starts now?
I have no idea what I believe. No. I think that I don't know. I do believe in... What do you mean destiny?
Like destiny, like fate. Yeah, like
we're meant to be together.
Yes.
I mean, I think once you find the person you're with, you're going to say, oh, this was fate.
Uh-huh.
But like...
But when you dump
when
their
When you
ass.
Don't, then you don't think that way. So I don't know. I just...
So you're putting a big, I don't know.
I just don't know in either of those things.
Okay, it took
I'm confused.
It took Jilly 33 seconds to not know and be confused.
Yeah.
All right. Low, your time starts now.
Okay. I do not believe in the one. I think that there probably are so many people that you could meet and get along with and be attracted to and like make it work with. Mm-hmm. And I think that when it's the right time in your life, if you happen to be dating that person, they feel the same way about you, you'll probably end up together and you'll probably be totally happy and think that that person is the one. But I also think that there are lots of people that could like fill that role in your life and like feel really special to you. The second question, do I believe in destiny? I don't know the answer to that. It feels like a little too like meta for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think that like, okay, I've met this person and so you like, yourself that it's destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know if there's like this like universal plan for all of us. Don't know.
Wow, gorgeous. 57 seconds, low. You really did it. She always gets it right.
Yeah, right when there's 1 second left.
Okay. Are you ready?
Timer?
It's yes. Emily's
cool. Turn. All right.
Emily, your time starts now.
Okay. Totally agree with low. I don't believe in the one. I think that there are a lot of different ones, and I think that people who are looking for like that cookie cutter person, that one who fits in to exactly what you think, are probably not setting themselves up for romantic success. And then I do believe in fate, but I think that it's quite rare, just with the dating scape that technology has created and the fact that it's so easy to kind of keep swiping for that bigger, better person who's closer to that vision of the one that you think you have. It's really rare that you would actually organically be not looking at your phone and be out on the street and cross paths with, you know, your future.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold on. 44 seconds. Very concise.
I just feel like destiny only happens when you're like in your gym clothes with like makeup everywhere and then you run into your ex.
Or a wolfie.
Okay, but wouldn't you I was going to say, but wouldn't you beg to say? Wouldn't you beg to say that that was destiny? I mean, what are the odds that you were making eyes with this guy across the bar and he happened to be with someone that you knew worked for your company?
True. Do you want
to
know what I say? That's timing.
But that's not timing.
That feels more like destiny to me.
That's destiny.
And timing. Like, I agree with you. I think that like these apps and like all this stuff, it's like that doesn't feel as organic. I think if you meet in a really organic way, like you meet on the street, you meet at a bar, you meet in gym, like whatever, that feels more like destiny.
Timing to me is so much more represented by meeting someone. Like, if we're talking about timing in the sense of like of relationships, I think timing to me is about meeting someone that is emotionally on the same page as I am. To me, that's what good timing means
in
a relationship.
Well, there's two timing. There's being at the same time at the same place at the same time.
See,
and then there's
fate.
That. I guess. I don't know. I feel like it's all numbers.
Yeah.
Do you guys want me to answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, Greta. Do you want me to time you?
I don't know, Greta. I don't know if I want you. I'm kidding.
It's very easy. I can time myself.
I'll time you, girl. Okay, Greta. We've got 0 seconds on the clock, and we'll just start it right now.
And go. Do I believe in the one? I do, because it's me.
Nice.
Thank you. That was a bad joke.
Love that.
Do I believe in the one? I certainly do not believe in the one, but I do believe that you can find one friend that you want to like spend your life with. That being said, I'm not sold on the idea of monogamy. I think it's like very, very challenging. I don't think I'm sold on that. So I don't know if that counts as the one. I think you can find the one person that you want to chill with till you die. That's possible. In terms of destiny, I believe in destiny. Cute. And fate. I do. I believe in John Cusack and serendipity with the glove and the skate rink. You know, I do.
Cute.
Okay, well, Greta, you're at 47.
Thank you.
It's faded.
I'm going to go back to my answer.
How many seconds do you have?
I have no seconds. I would say that I think it's more the minute you, like, believe in yourself, then you meet the right guy.
It's energy.
So I don't even think it's like to do with like, oh, where's the one? Or like, is he, I think it's like, am I like the one to like what you said, really though? Like, am I the one? Like, am I that okay with myself and like happy in my life to be able to like share that with someone else?
Yeah, I guess that wasn't a joke. Like, I am the one. We really are each other's ones. And then I really think that like the energy that you put out into the universe is like what you'll receive. So if you're feeling yourself, you're going to find someone that's feeling you too.
I so agree. I tell every client, like, before they sign on the dotted line, I'm like, you realize that I can only give you 20% of the stuff. You need to meet me 80% of the way, and that's self-love and being a great date and being ready and being emotionally ready to commit, and I'll do the other 20%, which is introduce you to the person.
So what if you're, like, great at all of the other of the 80%, and then you, like, actually like someone, and then you fall apart because you feel insecure?
What do you mean?
Julia's like, so what if you're getting ready to go on a date and you're dressed, you're like almost at the door, but then something happens and you stay.
I mean more like, what if you like do all of that, you know, you're like confident, you're happy, you're like where you want to be in life, you go on like that, you're dating someone you really like, and then you like destroy the relationship because you're insecure.
But I thought you were really secure.
This feels like an oddly pointed question.
It's not. It's just said with passion.
But do you mean like destroy the relationship that you because you're not communicating well? Because you're too afraid to communicate?
No, I think it's maybe because you're like scared. So you kind of like self-sabotage even though you're ready.
I think a lot of people self-sabotage.
Yeah, so what do you give people advice once they're in the relationship?
Or? Totally, that's half of the game for us. Like, it's like if you ask us how many dates you get within, it's an 18-month membership for our clients. So if you ask how many dates do I get, that's the wrong question. If you ask how fast until you can get me into a relationship, that's the right question. So, and then the rest of the 18 months, I'm the relationship not coach, but sounding board, really. I talk through everyone's first big fight.
Really? So it's beyond like so just you the mediate. First couple dates.
Yeah. So I mean, some of them turn off and like they don't care. Like some men are very like A to B. Like, yeah, I got the girl. Bye. But
what if? Yeah. What if they never fight?
If they
and
never
it just
fight?
Fizzles out, and it's like whatever.
Well, then they can pick back up. Then they can call me. And they can say it fizzled out. Here's why I think it fizzled out. I might have a drink with that person or have them into the office, and we'll talk about that.
Do you think that there's a certain amount of dates or like time before someone should like stop? Like, you know what I mean? Like where they're like people know stop if they're what? In love.
Yeah.
After how many months?
I would say. I would say not in love, but they know if they should keep going after 3 dates. Like, if it's not there in 3 dates, then it's not.
Then it's
not there at all. In love, like, going exclusive, do you mean?
Yeah. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, if, like, you don't know it's love in, like, the first, like, 6 months to a year, then it'll never work out. You know, those, like,
well,
things you hear.
Well, I would definitely agree with that. I think you know.
Yeah. Sometimes. You, like, have those feelings of, like, fuck, I really like this person.
Yeah.
If you don't feel that way, like, what are you doing?
I think maybe...
Well, a lot of people date for like a very long time.
I don't know. I just stopped
and then they're like,
and I just was like,
I think that people date for a really long time and can't make a decision because they're one of two things. Either they know that they're seeing someone that's amazing, that like they don't want to let go, and they're like insecure in knowing whether or not they can be in a relationship, and that's their fucking problem. Mm-hmm. Or they like do like being friends and like hanging out, and then it's like, oh, but I don't want to stop hanging out because I like chilling with you. And it's just something that becomes kind of easy, like becomes like an easy like space filler, you know? Those are the two reasons why I think,
yeah,
I think a lot of the time, specifically men, because they just have less brain function than we do. I say that in Austin.
Oh, Greta.
I just think a lot of men will be like, oh, this girl's perfect. This girl's amazing. Like, I love this girl, but like, I don't know. I don't know if I want a relationship, but they don't cut the cord.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you should cut the fucking cord because this girl is amazing and you should like let her fly on and find somebody else.
Totally. And I think like that's like another little mind game that matchmaking plays on people, because a lot of, you know, my own friends, I think, do and have settled in relationships. So people who go and hire a matchmaker, you're not going to settle because you've paid for 18 months with us. Like, it's weird to think of it this way. But, like, if you're with someone and it's not feeling amazing, you're going to come back and see who else I might be able to introduce to you if you pick that time up. So that's just another fun little hidden bonus of taking the proactive like client approach.
Yeah. I feel that way at 31, that I'm like very picky about what I want, because I'm like, I'm 31. Like, I've already, you know, I haven't found the person at 20. I haven't just like randomly like fallen in love with a stranger and like, you know, we've grown together and it's worked out. So I'm like, I'm going to be very picky.
Yeah.
Like, I want someone that like has like a great career and has like, you know, a great relationship with their family, other stuff that I like maybe didn't even care about when I was younger, because I was just more interested in like finding the one, you know what I mean? That sort of mindset. And now I'm like much more picky.
Yeah. And because you like, when you've been single, like you build up your own stuff, like, you know, all this, like all your hobbies and your friends and like all these other things that you could be doing and all this happiness in a life being single. So you don't want to, what I think used to be like a compromise is now today, like it's considered settling, which I disagree with, but like you might find a guy who doesn't fit into exactly what you thought you wanted. And it's so easy to just go and find another guy because you have such a great life now and you're happy and you've got a lot of self-love. But sometimes it is wise, I think, to like, you know, bend a little bit and like learn and grow from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I find that I've been way more honest with people that I've been dating lately, where I'm just like, listen, like, I can't do casual because like it hurts my feelings too much. And so like, if you want to like date, not be my boyfriend, but if you like want to date, like let's do that. Cause I just like can't do this like 25-year-old thing anymore. Like, I'm just too old and it like just hurts my feelings too much. And
well, it's not
I've had like some success and some not success with that. But I feel like at least I'm being honest with people.
Yeah.
I'm, like, protecting myself.
I think the casual thing, the thing that's the hardest about that is like the unknown. You know what I mean? Like, to not know like if the person's in the same, thinking the same thing as you or like in the same place.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what makes that so difficult. I've never done the casual thing. I don't know how to do that. I used to be the
queen of casual.
Yeah. When I used to be
for years and years and years. I fucking dominated casual.
I have way too much anxiety for casual.
But now in my older years, it's like, I don't want something that's casual. I like want to be with somebody and share my life with them. And so I think you're right, Julie. I think it's like the not knowing, the in between. And, you know, like when you keep it casual, like you haven't established any boundaries. Like, you don't know how to communicate.
And it's hard to stand up for yourself.
You don't even know if you really like that person. Yeah. If you're just like fucking each other.
Yeah.
You know?
All the fucking.
So I'm trying to not do casual anymore because it just hurts my soul.
No, that's good. Yeah. And I think it's just good to nip it in the bud and say it right away. You know, and I think guys appreciate that too.
I think it becomes hard though for so many women, like, and men, I'm speaking for all people, when you meet someone and you really, like I've been saying, like when you meet someone and you really like hanging out with them and you really like spending time with them, but then there's something in one of you that's like preventing it from going the next step or from being a relationship. I think it's like really, it really does hurt your feelings. And it's like really confusing because you're like, but what, like, we talk all the time, like, we have a great time, we hang out, like, what is wrong? Like, why will you not just be my person? Like, yeah. Why, what?
Or, it's, like, be open to exploring yeah. it, you know what I mean?
And, like, well, what that means.
I also feel like sometimes people take relationships differently, like, the idea of it. Like, some people are like, I'm only going to get in a relationship if I know I'm going to be, like, in love with this person, whereas other people be like, oh, okay, I can be in a relationship even if it will end in 4 months, right? You know? Where other yeah. people are like, I don't want to do that unless it's going to be like a year, 2 year thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of guys that are like, I'm not going down this road because like I've had bad breakups before and like, I don't want to deal with this again.
Right.
Thing. You yeah. know,
that's sad, but then they're just setting themselves up to
be alone.
To
be
yeah.
alone,
basically you yeah. have to throw yourself in and try.
Yeah.
I think you had like such a cute story from the date you last went on through me. You know, it's the like story? These couples just who want to like hang on and people wanting connection when you went down to the bathroom and he had another drink waiting for you.
Oh yeah.
It's just sad to me. Like they were like about to leave and then, or shall I tell her? Or do you want to tell
you
her?
Can tell
or
the
is
story.
It okay for me to tell
Is this yeah. the guy that you went on
but,
a date
like,
with?
But like she went down yes. to the bathroom and like he had ordered her another drink even though like they were supposed to leave. And I just think it's like, it's not really great manners to do that, but it's also mm-mm. so heartbreaking because it's like, you just, these, all, everyone wants to connect and he probably yeah. saw that there was something. He's like, just give me another, you know, like yeah. let's just spend another 30 minutes together and like see if there's something here more yeah. than a friend vibe.
30 minutes. If I wanted to get out of there, I would have just sucked that thing down in like three. I would have been like, ciao, it's time to go.
The smallest, I had a shoot like early the next morning.
But they had a good
time.
Right. They had a good friend
if
vibe.
If you had yeah. a shoot early the next morning and it was with a guy you like, you would have stayed longer.
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah.
So you can't use that excuse.
I know, but that's what I told him.
It's fine.
Sasha, he's not listening. You know he's what? Not listening, to so every, we're okay.
To every woman.
But they like, had a good friend vibe. Like, but yeah, you don't need to be out.
Also, to every listener,
with your friends when you have a shoot.
To every listener out there that is feeling that feeling of being like, he was really nice. And like, I wish I could have, should have, would have. Just, you know what? The connection's not there. And don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about not having a connection with someone just because they're on paper
yeah.
nice and perfect. Like, yeah. we all need to stop that feeling because it's totally. Not
I know.
Good.
I just, it's just who I am to try to treat people, especially new people that I meet, like, with dignity and
right.
respect and kindness. Like, that's really important.
I
to
also
me.
Feel like it's rude to leave a date and before an hour.
It unless was not an hour. It was like 2.5 hours.
No, I yet. Know. I mean, in general, that's my statement. Like, I think if someone has made the effort to, like, take you out or you to take them out, I think it's, you have to stay for an hour.
I totally agree.
Like,
totally.
I went on a date with a guy and
I do.
After 35 minutes when he realized I wasn't going to sleep with him, he was like, okay, like, let's go. And then finally.
That guy sucked. I want to find that guy and punch him in the nuts.
By the way, then at the end of the night, he was like, okay, are you sure you don't want to come over and watch Netflix? I was like, no, bro. And he was like, no. All good. I totally understand. And then I saw him on another dating app and he was like looking for love, like looking for the one, like all these, like, I was like, this guy's
literally
whack.
Play on playa. Goodbye. Yeah.
But I think it's just rude.
Yeah.
Like people have showered. People have done their hair. Like you have to give
totally.
An hour.
Do you guys want to know something creepy that's happening to me lately?
What?
Yeah. This one guy keeps texting me every like 10 days at like 5 a.m., 6 a.m.
Saying what?
7 a.m. Like
saying what? What an inappropriate hour!
Like at 7 a.m.
Yeah,
and to like, fuck.
At 5.
Yeah,
at 7 a.m. is the creepier thing than 5.
Yeah, because
like, that means he's been up since 7.
He's like partying all night, and like by the time he like rolls around to bed, he's like.
He's like,
also,
come over.
Here's my question.
Like,
someone that's partying.
But have you given him later? Even, like,
wait,
have you given
on.
Him anything back to this? Like, that
hold on. Greta's heard
of I'm sorry. I've heard something that I needed to hear clearly with no one else talking. Lo, what was the text?
Well, this week it was, do you want to sit on my face later?
Later? So at 5 a.m., what does he think? 8 a.m.?
And I said, I replied when I woke up, I said, you are the craziest ever. And then he replied, see you later.
Oh my God. Honestly, low key love this guy.
No, you
see
know,
you later?
You know who it is.
Wait, see you later?
I will not reveal his identity.
No, wait, what does the text message the next week say?
It's like always like that.
But then do you
line?
See him?
Is
no.
it always the same line?
But you always respond. Like, you always, like, let him know that it's okay to keep texting you.
I guess in a little way.
Yeah, that's what stalkers, like, you have to just not
He probably engage. Loves that because that's, like, I mean, this guy probably gets rejected so much. Like,
no, that little text. Not get rejected ever.
No, okay. I know who it is now, and I do not think he is getting rejected.
You know who it is. He does not get rejected ever.
Well, I mean, you,
bad like, by you.
To be honest with you, to have the balls to text a girl at 5 a.m., come sit on my face, you need to be very either delusional or like cocky as hell to think someone's going to do that.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, yeah, what does he actually expect? It's like when someone like shouts out to you on the street, it's like, when has that ever worked?
No, never. Yeah.
To be PC
Wait,
about it.
Since but. We're talking about face sitting, how do you feel? I think we should transition into sexploring.
Yeah. Great.
Cool.
What is your advice on, because
yes,
on sex the first date,
the second date, yeah, like what do you advise your clients?
Sex rules at last first?
We have zero rules at last first. I think it's just do what feels right. Probably not what I would do on a first date. Like if you're really looking for something serious, I think it can be powerful to kind of have a little cat and mouse game for a little while.
How about a blowjob?
On the first date?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no different from having sex on the first date to me. I'm not like one of those people who's like, oh, we didn't have sex, but we like, it's like you, if,
right.
Yeah. Once you're both naked together, like you, yeah.
It's like if you're naked, you're naked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You might as well have sex.
Recently went on, like the last guy that I dated, we did a, like the first night we met, the second night we like kissed. The third night we made out
in a row.
It was just like the dates.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. The fourth night we like literally it was like each different date was like a new that. Step. That's and it was sweet. Like, honestly, that's my schedule.
That's kind of cute.
It was great.
It's whatever feels right to each couple. I think like you just, but you need to go with what feels right. Don't hold yourself back. Don't make yourself feel uncomfortable by contrast and, you know, do what feels good.
So any other dating tips that we have that you might have for our listeners, like at all, just in terms of being open and available and not wearing too much like cologne or something like that?
Shaving.
Yeah. I would say I love like one if of my want. Signature tips is like the pre-date ritual. So for everyone, you know, kind of not to go on a date right after the gym or right like you know straight from work go home rushing, and have at least if you really want like an A++ date and to set yourself up for real date success, I think you'll connect with your future husband no matter what, even if you don't do this. But if you can go home and figure out what it is for yourself, whether it's reading a chapter of your favorite book that you're just really hooked on right now, or doing some yoga, or taking a bubble bath, or calling your friend who makes you laugh the most, or having a drink, whatever gets you to the spot where you feel kind
you're like best self.
Yeah, exactly. Do that. Like commit to really like that's more important than finding your missing earring. Like I would say like that's more important than your outfit. That's more important than your hair. Like go do that.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. I also feel
just
like
5 minutes.
I love that
just
tip.
Chill out first.
I used to like buy a new top just because I wanted to when I had a date. But then I would be like have put all this pressure like I bought a new top. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
like
this top has to,
yeah, exactly. And so I can't do that anymore. I just have to like wear even if it's like I don't want to wear it, like I'm not buying anything new.
I think have your outfit, like have your killer first date outfit is one of like a tip that I offer to people as well. Like it's oftentimes not something new. It's something that, like you know works.
Yeah.
It's worked before.
Do you let people be a part of your community if they don't want to get married?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have, you mentioned open relationships. I mean, in California, in my membership in San Francisco, that's been a bit of a theme. Not in terms of my clients, but I've definitely met a lot of people who have said that in my social network who've said that that was like what happened, what broke up their last relationship because one of them wanted to be
all
open, the other didn't. And like
Silicon Valley tech bros that go to Burning Man now think that they rule the world and can have open relationships.
But I kind of want an open relationship.
That's fine, but you're not.
That's because you've never been to Burning Man and you actually haven't created an app, so you're different. Yeah.
Actually, you can't have an open relationship because you don't have an app and you don't have desert
goggles.
You've
actually never been to Menlo Park,
like,
so.
To everything.
Yeah, dude. But that's like a huge deal in San Francisco, like not to stereotype, but that's something that I've been, trending within my membership.
Well, with an open relationship, it's like you definitely, don't you think you should figure that out before you meet the person?
What, I mean, like, I don't think you
can. I don't think you can either.
Why?
It just depends. Because for you also, like probably
you want one.
There might be one but here's there might be a guy who's going
to change there's probably, that.
Oh.
Or a guy who, you know, there's like.
For the man that changes Greta's mind, I'll give him a large kiss on the forehead.
Yeah.
Also, the thing with an open relationship is I feel like each couple that does that, their boundaries are totally different.
Yes.
And so when you say open relationship, that could just mean, we have threesome sometimes.
Right.
Or it could mean I have what a were you whole thinking? Other girlfriend.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Oh, I was just thinking threesomes.
I like.
My mind didn't even go to the other side.
If you want stands, it can be another relationship.
I like sleeping with everyone. I like sex with women and I like sex with men. I like feeling like I can explore those things. Like at a certain point in a relationship, I would like to open it up because I think that as humans, we like have sexual urges for other things. And it's more like what Lo's saying. Like maybe one night I want to have a threesome. I would like to be with someone that would be like down to have a threesome. And there's a stupid like rumor specifically with men that like all men are like, oh yeah, I'd love it if my girlfriend would have a threesome with me.
My ex was
honestly
like, fuck, no.
Yeah, I have met so many men that are not down with threesomes. Totally.
But Greta, I also feel like this is your mindset now. I guarantee when you're 32 you'll have a different mindset.
I guarantee that when I'm 45 and so horny and like creaming my little I'm Chanel saying. Mini, I'm gonna want to be banging in like a swingers party.
Listen, honestly,
I think that if you already know who you are at this age, it's probably who you're gonna stay.
But Greta's not. Greta's not 30. Be.
It doesn't so, matter. We can't
I just
be
feel like I'm not.
Way.
I'm like, not. I'm saying I think there's a lot of growth in your like mind that you do and a lot of thinking that you do between the ages of 25 and 30. So I think it's really hard to say what you want,
but this is the growth
that you want.
But this is the growth that I've come to.
This is the growth.
I'm just saying when you're 32, let's rehab this conversation.
Okay.
And then I want to know what's up. Honestly, I support either way, but yeah. I just want to know when your ovaries start just like bouncing inside of you and your hips just get a little bit larger and you have to like exercise way more and eat less. Honestly, it means you're ready for babies, and then Mother Nature is telling you
but
something.
But like, I still strongly disagree with you, Jill.
I don't know.
I think you can't tell Greta like what she wants.
I'm not telling her what she wants.
Or that she's gonna like.
I'm not telling her what she wants. I'm just saying I want to have the conversation.
You
when
guys,
she's 32.
This is really awkward, but Jillie and I had something to share with you guys. That Jillie and I have actually been in a relationship for years, and this is the first time I've expressed to her I wanted an open relationship. Which is
yeah, sorry, guys.
Oh my god. She's like, "What we talked about when you were 32."
No, I'm just saying. I think that a lot of exploration happens in your 20s, and sometimes when you reach, there's things that I want that I like didn't even think that I wanted. That I really woke up one day because I was like, oh, like, my body is cooking.
Now and I'm, like, way more open to exploring than I was when I was, like, 26.
I don't know. Just saying.
But, yeah, I think your sexuality can change.
Definitely.
And I think a person can come in and change that, too.
I think so, too. Not look, I'm open.
Honestly,
don't freak me out. I'm open to anything. Look, if there is some guy out there
I'm not talking about your openness. I'm talking about the monogamy thing.
Oh, yeah, I just, you
that's
know,
really what I'm talking
I mean,
about.
The monogamy thing runs so much deeper than me just being, like, horny. It runs from me witnessing my parents have a totally fucked 30-year-long marriage. And there's probably a part of me, I know there's a part of me that's like, oh, why don't we just make this relationship open and, like, have certain parameters and, like, make it sort of a controlled situation. It's like microdosing mushrooms.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's your way of, like, trying to ensure that, like, you can have monogamy, but, like, you're afraid. And so
you right, and you have that, like, friend monogamy. You have that partnership monogamy. You have that, like, for me, the openness is really just, like, a sexual thing. It's less, like, I don't want to be with someone that wants to also be with another. I don't want to be in a polyamorous
relationship. You don't
want to
be with someone that has another family.
No. I just want to be able to, like, have weird sex is basically what it comes down to.
But I think then that's something you should definitely also be upfront really early on with people.
So can I join your pool?
You can. I would want to tell them, you know, because I think that that's a big deal just because
I think a lot of people would be like, ugh, I don't know.
I mean, it's just like, it's like society. It sucks, but it is what it is. Yeah. And it's like you, that would be outside the bounds of normal society, but, and you would need to talk about it.
But then again, it's like, I would date someone. It doesn't need to be immediate. I just need to see where the relationship goes.
Like be sure that they'd be open to it and not totally freaked out.
Or just open to the conversation. Open to the conversation.
I think a lot of guys would appreciate it. If you think about all the people who just cheat and lie about it.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's sucky.
Yeah.
You guys, what a fun episode.
Fun ep.
Emily, you're the greatest. So we end each episode by allowing our guests to shout out their lady lovin'. So have you come prepared?
I'm prepared.
You
are? I had a few who were in my mind. So I'm going to go with the one who I'm feeling the most. Great. I'll go with one.
Okay.
So my lady love today is Diane von Furstenberg.
Ooh, DVF is a great
She hasn't been one. And this is our 107th episode.
Yeah. Wow.
So great. We love this.
Yeah. So she's my lady love. And, you know, she has just a great philosophy on self-love and relationships. You know, she says, first, you have to work on your relationship with yourself because then the other person is a plus, not a must. And I have a personal relationship with her. I met her at one of her parties, and she heard me telling someone that I was a matchmaker, and she was so open, just compared to a lot of, you know, fashion designers and just other more public figures who I've met talking about matchmaking, who are like, oh, can I get an extra confidentiality clause in there? She was like, this is awesome. You guys are matchmakers. And then she posted on her Instagram about us, and I just thought it was like cool and refreshing and awesome to have like one of my own icons like get what I do.
For sure. And also just having someone like that public be that honest about like looking for love and not vulnerable, I think is really nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then we gave a talk with her, which we're hopefully repeating next year too, which
amazing.
I'll tell you about. But yeah, about love and being single.
Love that.
DVF, great lady.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Where can our listeners find you if they want to, you know, be, if they want to
join the membership,
please, in the pool?
You can apply on www.lastfirst.com. And click on apply. Write a little thing about yourself.
It's New York, LA, San Francisco,
Miami as well. And we have small memberships in London and Paris, just based on my own networks there.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Of course.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.